Greetings, my friends. It's my joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's a wonderful day to be together to worship God. Especially a privilege for me to welcome our visitors this morning. I've had a chance to meet a few folks who are visiting us for the very first time, and we are glad that you're here. We hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you and that you feel the Holy Spirit moving in and through this place. All of us who are here are encouraged to sign in. We have registration pads that are at the end of each row, and I hope they're already making their way down the row and back again. And if you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation and ways that we are trying to serve God in our world, if you'd share a mailing address or an email address, that will give us a chance to be in touch with you and reach out to you in that way. Also, if you are sitting on the center aisle and would be willing to tear off the sheets that have been filled out from that registration pad and place them on the top, that would be a great help to our ushers after the service. A few announcements, some things that are happening this afternoon, opportunities for worship. At 3 o'clock at St. George's Episcopal Church, our sanctuary choir, which is the choir that sings at 8:45 service, will be joining the St. George's Choir in a concert of French music. It's free and open to the public and would be a wonderful way to support them and to worship. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, right here in the sanctuary, we have our monthly service of Taizé worship, which is a contemplative, quiet service of singing and prayer. And it is a wonderful service to invite friends and neighbors to, a great way to introduce them to life at West End. So I would encourage you to be present if you're able. A few announcements about ways that we're trying to serve God out in our community. We're continuing our effort to raise $30,000 to build a Habitat house this fall. Lisa Guak's goal is to get that money raised before she moves to Atlanta at the end of July. So in honor of Lisa, let's do what we can. We still need about $17,000 to meet our goal of $30,000. We're also taking up some, collecting some items for Project Transformation. The details about that ministry are in your insert. It's a particularly strong ministry in the summer months where we work with children in our community. So the list of what's being collected and what that ministry is all about is in your insert, but I wanted to highlight that this morning. And finally, I want to invite up some members of our congregation who have been through a training to become part of a new ministry called Congregational Care Partners. So I want to invite those friends to come up for a moment so that we can welcome them and commission them to the work they've been called to do.
In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are all members of the body of Christ. He says, God has put the body together so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. Today, we launch a new and exciting ministry of connection called Care Partners.
While all of us are called to care for one another, West End Care Partners have been specially trained to walk with people through difficult times, to listen and pray, and to help others remember that they are not alone in their struggles. Care Partners will also help to ensure that our members who are homebound or hospitalized will know that they are not forgotten by our congregation. In this way, our care partners will share the loving light of Christ through a ministry of connection, compassion, and care. Today, we consecrate them to that work in the name of Jesus Christ.
I invite you to kneel. On behalf of this congregation, I commend you to this work of connection, compassion, and care. I pledge to you our prayers, encouragement, and support. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this and all things you may do God's will in the service of Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Almighty God, look with favor upon these who reaffirm their commitment to follow Christ and to serve in his name. Give each of them courage, patience, and vision. And strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you all. And I would invite you to keep these friends and those for whom they will be caring in your prayers. And now it is time for us to open our hearts and minds on this day of Pentecost to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit among us.
Holy Spirit, inspire our hearts with your fiery presence.
Let your flame burn within us.
Come, Holy Spirit, energize our lives to work for God.
Let your rain fill us.
Come, Holy Spirit, pour your blessing on us. Let us call on the name of the one who invites us to speak the truth about ourselves and our relationships and promises to show us mercy. Holy Spirit, we're not sure we're ready for your awesome power to blow through our lives. We've grown comfortable with our familiar habits and routines. We're afraid to give up our waking slumber and face the truth that we do not truly live. When we cling to our ways in the safety of familiar paths, wake us up, shake us up, and breathe your life into us. Walk with us, O God, and give us courage to follow the way that is lit by the fire of your Spirit. On this day of Pentecost, we pray for the audacity to ride the winds of change. Amen. Don't be afraid. God's Holy Spirit brings you healing, comfort, and hope. You are being prepared to serve God in some mighty ways. Rejoice. God's Holy Spirit is with you always. And now let us share the peace of Christ with those who are around us. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is a baptism of children. This morning, Jerome Savin and Emma Smith bring their daughter, Harper Lorraine Savin to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift offered to us without price. So Emma and Jerome, as Harper's parents, we ask you the questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this beautiful child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life. That dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given this child? Harper Lorraine, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to wake us all up. So let us pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in her life, if you'll place a hand on her. Harper Lorraine, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to go for a little walk here. And her eyes are closed, but I'm sure she can feel your presence. We're going to come and stand in the midst of this church family. Now, Harper's family has been part of the Weston community for several generations. Right now, she's living in Chattanooga with her parents, and so we're going to take a vow on behalf of her church family there in Chattanooga as part of the Church Universal. And we're going to keep Harper and her parents and grandparents in our prayers so that she may grow to know the love and unconditional acceptance of Jesus Christ.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Harper Lorraine to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks
for all that God has already given you, Harper Lorraine,
and we welcome you
in Christian love. As members together with you, in the name of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we reaffirm faithfully in the ministries of the church, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Mount Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing among the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
us the grown-ups to be seated, and any children who'd like to come forward to come join me up here for a minute. Thank you. Glad to see you this morning. Oh, here we have a few more. Yay. Come on up. Welcome, welcome. So, how many of you have ever been to a birthday party? Yep, I've been to a birthday party. How many of you have ever had a birthday? Yep, I've had a few. Well, if you've been to a birthday party, you know that there are some things we do at birthday parties. We sing happy birthday. Usually we get to eat cake. And what does the cake have on it sometimes? Candles. There are certain things we do with birthdays. Sometimes we even wear hats that say happy birthday on them. Well, today is a really special day in the church. It is. Thank you so much, Clayton. It is the church's birthday today. It's happy birthday to the church. On this day, over 2,000 years ago, God started the church. The Holy Spirit came, sounded like wind, and it looked sort of like fire. And all the people who had been followers of Jesus felt the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they started talking about Jesus, and churches started all over the world. So today is kind of like the church's birthday, and we call it Pentecost. So I want you to remember this. Every year when we come to this time, we change all the colors to red to remind us that the Holy Spirit looked sort of like fire on that day. We sing hymns about Pentecost, wishing the church a happy birthday and thanking God for all that God has done. It's a yearly tradition, just like your birthday. So let's say happy birthday to the church, shall we? Happy birthday, church. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the gift of the church. The church today, where we get to come and be with other people and be loved and to share your love with others. We thank you for the 2,000 years of the church and pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work through us and help us talk about Jesus and share his love with the world each and every day. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back where you were seated with parents, grandparents, or friends. I always feel like those moments with our children work better if you have a prop of some kind. So I went looking for a birthday hat this week, and I struck out. I went to the CVS. No birthday hats. I even looked for those little, you know, the things that you blow that unroll, and nothing. No birthday things whatsoever. So I went up the hill to the Kroger. No birthday hats. No birthday party favors. I was really tempted to go up to the cashier and be really bold and say, "You don't happen to have any Pentecost decorations, do you? Have any Pentecost hats?" No, everything's all about the July 4th now in the Kroger. Unfortunately, the world doesn't pay much attention to Pentecost, even though it really is one of the high holy days of the church. Behind Easter and Christmas comes Pentecost. This is a deeply important day for us in the church, a day when the Holy Spirit was poured out afresh upon all people. And the church was born. And those ordinary disciples of Jesus started preaching and teaching and proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and the church spread throughout the whole Mediterranean world and beyond. Of course, the fact that the world doesn't really recognize Pentecost has some advantages. Our celebration of it is not complicated by all the commercialization that comes with Christmas, especially, and Easter to a certain extent. But on the flip side, it means that we don't always know as much about Pentecost as we do Christmas and Easter. Even we in the church don't always know what Pentecost is really about. So it's important for us to go back to this story in the second chapter of Acts that tells us what happened on that Pentecost Sunday. To get us oriented in the timeline, which Brandon really helped us to do last week, Jesus was raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. And Luke tells us that for 40 days, he appeared to his followers. And he instructed them and taught them. And then at the end of those 40 days, he gathered them for one last time before he ascended back to heaven to be with the Father. Before he ascended, he gave them some final instructions. Stay in Jerusalem and wait. Don't do anything, just stay together and wait until you get a sign from me. And so that's what they were doing. And when chapter 2 opens, Luke tells us they were all gathered together in the same place on the day of Pentecost. Now, who's they? We find out in chapter 1 that there are 120 disciples of Jesus gathered together, men and women who had followed him throughout Galilee. Even Jesus' mother was among them. Isn't that fascinating that Mary had become a disciple of Jesus and she was there on the day of Pentecost? We can only imagine who some of the others were, but 120 of them, Galileans. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish festival, a Jewish holiday. And so people, Jews from all over the world, had come to Jerusalem to worship in the temple and celebrate the festival of Pentecost. And so here we have these 120 disciples of Jesus gathered there in one place, and lo and behold, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and fills them, and each and every one of them begin speaking in a different language, all the languages of the earth. These were ordinary folk, nobodies really. Galileans would have been considered country bumpkins by the city folk of Jerusalem, and certainly by the international Jews who were there. And yet here they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus in every language. And Peter stands up to preach, and by the end of it, 3,000 people have become Christians, and the church is born. I have the image in my mind of the Big Bang. You know that theory that there was an explosion, and then the planets and stars went spreading out across the universe. It's like they were gathered in one place, and then the Holy Spirit exploded among them, and they spread the gospel throughout the world. This is a wonderful day in the life of the church. And those of us who plan worship have a lot of fun with Pentecost. There are all sorts of things that we can do on Pentecost. You can invite everybody to wear red so we see a sea of red and can imagine the tongues of fire upon everyone. I've been in churches where we've had liturgical dancers and banners and doves and incredible music and all of those things, and it feels like a big celebration. But I have to confess that over the course of this week, I haven't felt very much like having a party. On Monday, I went to the hospital to be with some family friends who had received the most devastating news I could possibly imagine. And I walked into their hospital room, and I did not have language. I did not have words that I could say to them. All I could do was sit by the bedside and hold their hands and cry with them. And I prayed silently in sighs too deep for words. Then on Tuesday, driving into the church in the morning, listening to the radio and hearing all about the violence in Jerusalem. And I've been to Jerusalem, and I've got a little bit of understanding about the layers and layers of complexity and enmity in between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And to see it exploding again, I didn't have words. I didn't have language to make sense of it. And then on Friday, I was sitting at my desk in my office, and Julie Catterton, who sits around the corner, called out to me and said, "Carol, did you hear about the shooting?" And I just laid my head on my desk and wept. Because I don't have any more words. And so in preparing for this Pentecost celebration, I began to wonder, what does this story of Pentecost have to say to all that has happened this week? What is speaking to us from this story into these situations of grief and violence and pain? And then I remembered the story. How each of these disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit and the gospel was proclaimed in every language. The gospel was not just proclaimed to people who were happy and successful. The church was not born among those who were always victorious. In fact, the church spread most quickly among the poor and the oppressed and the suffering of those days. There was something about the word that was being proclaimed that could be heard and understood in every situation and by every person, no matter who they were or what they were going through. After I walked back from Midtown Hospital on Monday afternoon, I wasn't ready to go upstairs and check my email, so I came in here and I sat in the back row in the silence, and I wept. And then I looked up and I saw the cross. And I remembered that the gospel is about a God who is made known to us through suffering on a cross. A God who is revealed to us through weakness and vulnerability. A God who is with us in our grief and our struggling and in those dark places where we have no words and we have no answers. That's where the Holy Spirit takes us and reminds us of the presence and power of God to speak love and hope and compassion in all languages. We baptized this beautiful child this morning, and we prayed for the Holy Spirit to work within her. And if you've been baptized, the church has prayed for you that the Holy Spirit would work within you, that you might be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. My friends, God has given each and every one of you a language that you can speak and people who will understand it. For some of you, like these care partners we commissioned, the language you speak is the ability to go and sit with someone in a deep place of grief, suffering, and struggle and be present and be the love of God, the light of Christ. And that doesn't always require words. For some of you, you have the gift to speak when there is another gun tragedy in our culture. And you know how to respond to that and to mobilize people for change. That is the language God has given you. For others of us, the language is the ability to speak to children, to help them know that they are loved and to teach them the ways of the faith. Each of us has been filled with the Holy Spirit and given a language to speak. And my privilege on this day, when we celebrate the birthday of the church, is to remind you and to remind myself and all of us in the church that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need to proclaim the gospel in every language. Amen. the creeds of the church. Give us words to proclaim what we believe and to proclaim the gospel. So I invite you to stand as you're able and feel the power of the Holy Spirit uniting us as together we proclaim our faith in the creed on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. And on those cards, you may indicate whether your prayer request should be shared or should remain confidential. And in a few moments, you can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew. As we've talked about birthdays today, we wanted to lift up a special joy that this past week, Bob McIntyre turned 99 years old and is with us today. And so we want to wish him well in this 100th year of life. And then also this morning, we rejoice with Susan and Luke Gregory, who are happy to welcome a new granddaughter. Sarah Catherine Erickson was born May 4th in Atlanta, Georgia, to Kate and Matt Erickson, and is welcomed also by her big brother, Matthew Erickson, and Uncle Ben Gregory. Today we offer our sympathy to Susie, Carl, Will, and Charlie Hansen, who are mourning the death of Susie's mother, Mary Bright, who died May 10th in East Peoria, Illinois. Services were held in Washington, Illinois, on May 17th. We also remember Esther Stewart, who died Saturday, May 12th, in Port Joe, Florida. Private services will be held at a later date. And finally, we also mourn the loss of William Horace Herndon, who passed away Tuesday, May 15th. Services were held Friday, May 18th, at Hibbett and Haley Funeral Home. And among his survivors is his wife, West End member Lynn Reich Herndon. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, your holy wind swept over all of creation, shaping existence and bringing light where there was darkness. Holy One, your breath gave life to all living things, animating and sustaining them. This day and every day, we give thanks for you and pray for your sustaining presence in our lives. Saving Lord, in Jesus Christ, we know the fullness of your presence. Help us walk in the way of the one who demonstrated the power of life lived in spirit and truth. When we struggle to trust in your ways, help us be faithful. When we fail to love you and our neighbors with our whole heart, help us grow in grace. When we are hurting or broken, help us know healing and comfort. And when we sow violence and hatred and division, help us know your peace. divine presence whose spirit moves like wind and flame, set our hearts on fire this morning and stoke the flames of unity and kinship that you desire for people of all ages, nations, and races. In a world full of many perspectives and embodiments and languages, may your spirit help us share the universal language of divine love. Remind us that such love has the power to bind all people together in solidarity and common interest for goodness and wholeness. And may this be the witness of your church. As a people of one God and one Lord and one Spirit, we join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday, let us offer our gifts to sustain the ongoing work of God through the church which has been born of the Spirit.
Every time.
And now, my friends, may the Holy Spirit continue to work within you to set your heart on fire, that you may go out into this world in the name of Christ to spread God's love and compassion in the language God has given you to the people to whom God has called you. Amen.